You're listening to Stateside. I'm Laura Weber Davis in for Cynthia Canty. Well, you may have heard the circus is in town. The Democratic candidates for president are in Detroit for two nights of debates on CNN. And the week of organized chaos might just prove to be good practice for one week next year that's getting a bit, shall we say, overbooked. The Rocket Mortgage Classic PGA Golf Tournament announced it will now be held the week after Memorial Day, which just happens to be the same week as the Grand Prix on Belle Isle. That's also the week before the North American International Auto Show will launch for the first time in the spring. Oh, and that's also the week that many business leaders from Michigan head to the Mackinac Policy Conference.
There is no title of this song, let me tell you what's...
And did I mention that the Detroit Electronic Music Festival will have just wrapped up? So is this poor planning or a boon to the city? Kim Trent is an opinion writer from the city of Detroit. She's also on the Wayne State Board of Governors, and she joins me now. Kim, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Laura. So great to be here with you again.
So what do you make of the convergence of all these events happening at the same time next year?
Well, I think, you know, obviously when you have a signature event like the ones that are all going to be happening at the same time, you know, it's already kind of stressful because you're looking at a limited market, or, you know, you usually have a niche market for some of these events that are coming together. But with, you know, particularly when you talk about the Rocket Mortgage Classic and the Grand Prix and the Mackinac Policy Conference, all of those things kind of draw the same people.
Right.
So the challenge is going to be trying to find people from outside of Metro Detroit who want to come for this event. So I think that they're going to have to be really strategic about attracting either, you know, car racing fans or golfing fans. And then Mackinac, you know, that's probably a pretty solid audience because they're going there for business. And,
right,
you know, the people who go are probably going to still go. But those other two, I think, are going to be fighting for their lives.
Well, not to beat around the bush, but as you said, you know, a lot of these events, they attract the same kind of people. And it's hard for me not to think they all attract a lot of white people. And this is coming into a city that is 80% black population. I just feel like, what do you make of that incongruous atmosphere?
Right. I mean, there's certainly, you know, when you look at the audiences for those events, clearly it's not kind of the standard, you know, typical Detroit resident for both of those events. I think that it's good to have national attention for Detroit and some of the growth that we've seen. Certainly, yeah. I grew up in the Palmer Park area, and, you know, we saw with the Rocket Mortgage Classic how the city definitely spruced up, you know, some areas around the Detroit Golf Club. And so to the extent that having a national audience will help the city be more strategic about investing in kind of the corridors that get you to that club,
mm-hmm.
I'm happy about it.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, certainly I don't think the actual events are touching the lives on a daily basis of the people who live and work in Detroit necessarily.
But if they're coming into the city and plan on exploiting it for a space for their event, should they be doing more and could they be doing more to reach out to residents, to black folks who have been living there for decades, if not generations? Shouldn't there be more of an effort?
Well, I think you saw some hiccups on that front, even with the golf event, where the union that works out of the Detroit Golf Club had some, you know, labor issues, like kind of right before the event happened. And then there was a situation with the Wayne County executive and his wife feeling like they were mistreated at the event. So
right.
I think at the very least, the African-Americans who attend the event should be treated with respect. But yeah, I do think that there should be some more outreach. There's a woman I'm thinking of in Detroit named Selena Hollywood, who does golf lessons for black children. So the extent that they can invest in those kind of things so that more African-Americans can feel invested in the sport, you know, because as you said, a lot of deals get made there, a lot of jobs get solidified on the golf course. So, and, you know, I'm just using golf as an example. The same thing kind of goes for the Grand Prix. Those of us who love the island, who ride our bikes, who walk, who, you know, spend time on the island, a third of the island is pretty much cut off to us for a big chunk of the summer because of that race. And I think that with that kind of sacrifice that the people of Detroit are being asked to make, there certainly should be more outreach to make sure that not only just in the event so that more people, you know, regular people can attend the event, but that they are exposed to maybe auto racing as a career option. And I definitely think there should be more done to make sure ordinary Detroiters experience, not just the event, but, you know, kind of the opportunities that come with the event.
But how do we see those promises come to fruition? We do see often very moneyed interests come into the city, make grand promises to residents mm-hmm. about jobs that will be provided, and never really make good on it. And, you know, the argument can be made about where that stems from and why that is. But how do we ensure? Does it happen from a policy standpoint to ensure that jobs are created? Where does that push come from?
I think it has to come from our elected officials who make decisions about, particularly when you talk about the use of public land.
Yeah.
So, you know, I know that there was just a contract, I think, recently signed to extend the Grand Prix so that it would continue to be held at Belle Isle. I think there just has to be real accountability to make sure that, again, you know, there has to be exposure for the event so that ordinary Detroiters have access to the event. But then there also has to be these jobs that are being promised. And I don't think it should just be jobs for mounting that one event on, you know, one weekend in May or June. It has to be more of a long-term strategic effort to make sure that people are exposed to the long-range job opportunities. And I mean by young people who are making decisions about what they want to do when they grow up. Entertainment is a huge industry. And, you know, I think that these events are really a great opportunity. A lot of the growth that we are experiencing now, particularly with things like restaurants, mm-hmm. You know, some of the retail offerings that we have, obviously they're going to be depending on Detroit, but those are also dependent on people outside of Detroit coming in and telling our story.
Right.
So to the extent that we can get people in here so they can see, I mean, they're, you know, I'm near Livernois right now. I'm probably 5 minutes away from the Detroit Club at this very moment. And, what you will find is there are a lot of new kind of neighborhood restaurants that are popping up.
Yeah.
And they're going to be sustained by the people who live here every day. But to the extent that someone who's coming in for an event like the Rocket Mortgage Classic can, you know, stop in at Cuzzo's or stop in at some of these other, you know, kind of establishments, I think it's a great thing.
And do you see there being an economic benefit as well? I mean, we place a lot of emphasis from a business perspective that there will be an economic boom. Do you see it as being something that maybe this would be such an exciting week would generate its own mini economy?
To be honest with you, I don't see it yet. Mm-hmm. I still think that it's in, you know, that event particularly is in its infancy. So it's still probably too soon to say. I did see that the city seemed to really kind of work to spruce up some of the buildings that are on the way to the golf club so that the streets look a little bit less empty. The, you know, some of the vacant properties were spruced up, and I think that's a good thing. I think to the extent that we can really work to actually get real businesses into those slots, particularly with that, you know, some of those areas that you have to drive through to get to the golf club, there are some of them are the most vibrant neighborhoods in Detroit, but then there are also some that need some tender loving care. So I think to the extent that we can redouble our efforts to make sure that those corridors look great and not just look great, but they actually are thriving, that will be the long-term spinoff that we can see from this. But I think when you're just talking about a weekend event where people can come in and get a taste of the city, that's good. But I think if the city redoubles its efforts to make sure that those areas get some attention so that those corridors look really great next year when folks are coming into the golf club, then it will have been worth it, because then beyond that weekend, you'll see kind of spinoff economic benefits. So those are the kind of things that I would like to see happen because of those events.
Well, Kim, before I let you go, I have to ask you, the circus is currently in town. We don't have to wait till next year. What do you want to hear out of these
I'm on the Wayne State Board, so the circus has been here for a while, but yes, okay, go ahead.
Well, as an elected official, I'm sure you have something you want to hear from the Democratic debate tonight. So what do you want to hear as an official, as a voter, and as a Detroiter?
So as an official, as a Democrat, I have to say, probably my number one priority for 2020 is making sure that the person who occupies the White House is gone. So I just want to make one of the things I'm going to be paying very close attention to is how credible candidates are as a general election candidate. You know, so, you know, typically in a primary, people kind of veer to the left, and I would consider myself to be, you know, a progressive. So, you know, of course, those are the messages I want to hear, but I also want to be able to see that people can also pivot back so that they can capture enough votes that they can win the election, the general election. So that's what I'm looking for as an elected official. As a voter, one of the things that Andrew Yang, I think, has really made a point of talking about how we have to build a economy that is really kind of paying attention to the fact that, you know, AI and how automation is going to totally remake our economy. That's something that I'm really passionate about. That's why I'm on the Wayne State Board, is because I'm really passionate about making sure that people are educated so that we have the skills that will make us kind of robot-proof. I want to hear more of candidates talking about that. Right now, I think he's the only one who really has turned a lot of attention to that. I think, you know, Donald Trump is talking about the old economy. He's talking about, oh, we're going to make sure people have jobs in coal mines. You know, industries that are going to die off on their own. Even if we didn't have attention to global warming or climate change, I want to see candidates who are willing to challenge people to say, okay, the future may be different, but you don't have to be afraid of it. Hmm. And here's what I'm going to do to make sure that we are properly prepared and that our folks are trained for those jobs of the future. You know, I come from a family that was built by the auto industry, so I'm very appreciative of that. But looking out into the future, we know that manufacturing and pretty much every industry is going to be fundamentally changed by automation and AI. So what are you going to do as President of the United States to make sure that people like my aunts and uncles and my brother who worked in the plant, who aren't at retirement age yet, what are they going to do when those jobs, because they don't have to necessarily disappear, but they will be changing. And how will you make sure that the government is has its eye on the ball on that? So that's something that's really important to me.
Well, Kim Trent, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Laura, for inviting me.